भगवते वासुदेवाय summarize a little bit where we are. After this katha this evening, I will request all of you to turn to your neighbor and discuss some of the points which you have understood. So I will now increase a little bit the, let me say, my expectations in you and the audience. Fully present here. We have heard yesterday how Narada Muni, in his previous life, did a great mistake for which he had to take birth again. He was a singer, and instead of glorifying Krishna, he was making the mistake which modern performers do. They put themselves into the center and attract all the attention to themselves. So when there was a Sankirtan festival there, he was invited because of his extraordinary musical skills. He did not take part in the main program where the Lord was glorified, but he went off to the side and had a private concert for his female fans. Prabhupada says he sang ordinary cinema songs and not the Sankirtan. But he was blessed that in his next birth, in a quite early stage of his life, he took the association of pure devotees. And we discussed yesterday what happens in the association of devotees if it's properly done. Does any one of you remember this?
Develops inclination.
Yes, one develops the inclination for bhakti. When in your association of devotees you become discouraged to perform bhakti, so the association is not rightly conducted. But when you have proper association with devotees, you will see that a spontaneous desire to engage in devotional services like chanting and hearing and other services will increase. So this is something which helps you to see how well you are doing in your association. Discouragement, that means there is something material in the association. Encouragement to engage in Krishna service means you have been touched by the spiritual energy and you have become enlightened. So, what Narada Muni did is something which is quite telling for us. He engaged without any reservation in their service. He engaged his body, his mind, and his words in such a way in the service that the great devotees were inclined to inject their mercy into the heart of Narada Muni. Very, very nice. And the third point which we learned is that in the association he became attached to hear about Krishna. You know, when you become attached to hear about Krishna, Prabhupada compared with a spark in a shotgun pulver. If some fire falls into shotgun powder, it will spread. So if somehow or other you get an affinity or attachment in the association of the devotees, you will, it will spread in you, this desire, this affection for Krishna, this inclination for Krishna, and very soon you will become detached from your gross body and your subtle body. You will understand, I'm not the body and I don't want to be the slave of my bodily condition. I notice some of you have caught illnesses, and you know, when we are ill, when we have diseases in our body, when we have disturbing sounds all of a sudden happening in our ears, and you know, when there is this different types of illnesses, we begin to understand how much we are still under the control of the body. You know, when it is painful, or when there is even a little eczema on the skin, we become disturbed. As long as we are attached to the body, when we become detached by hearing more and more about Krishna, then this will not disturb us any more than a scratch on our car. Our car has so many scratches, no? Oh, you say, we are in Croatia, Guru Maharaj, when there's a scratch on our car, we go crazy. Hare Krishna. Then my tip is, have old cars, then you don't mind. So you get the idea. By hearing about Krishna, your attachment to the gross and subtle bodies, that is the physical body and the mind, becomes less and less. And instead of the attachment to the body, you become attached to Krishna. And this is the entrance fee, the enterprise for entering the kingdom of God. So something which I thought was significant, when the great souls left Narada Muni, Narada Muni was very sad. I think it will happen to us when our summer festival comes to the end, and our guests from Serbia and Slovenia, and we have even guests from Alachua in America, when they leave us, we will feel sad. So when these great souls left Narada Muni, they left him with an instruction which I found very important for all of us. In simple words, the instruction is, add Krishna. They said to him, engage your activities in the service of the Lord. When the activities are not engaged in the service of the Lord, they cause bondage. But when we are engaging our body and mind in Krishna's service, one can transcend. This is what the devotees told me who are organizing this Bhakti Summer Festival. There's a lot to do. They have not time to sleep, but they said, we feel so happy. Yes, it's because one engages in the service of Krishna and transcends. Even you do material activities, that generates more and more karma, and by this karma, you will become entangled in the material world. But as you do transcendental devotional service, the tree of work, it's called the entangling banyan tree, which Krishna describes in the 15th chapter, is cut. And that means very practically your material life stops and you feel free. You feel slowed down. You feel relieved. A person who engages in devotional service can work for many hours, and he feels more and more inspired and smiles and is more and more energized, really. Whereas material work, which creates further karma, is just taking strength away from us. So then, Narada Muni heard this from them. And he later, I do not know if you know, later when he became the saint, he wrote his own scripture called Narada Bhakti Sutra. Those of you who want to know what is bhakti, it's very nicely described by Narada Muni in the Narada Bhakti Sutras, and there he gave a definition based on his own experience of what is bhakti. Before I give you this definition, if Velko tomorrow comes a reporter on you to you, sticks you his microphone in the mouth and says, please give a definition for bhakti, what would you say?
Definition for bhakti?
Yes.
In my opinion, definition of bhakti would be devotional love towards Krishna and devotees and eagerness to serve.
Wonderful. Film producer, Velko. Devotional love for Krishna and his devotees and eagerness to serve. Would you like to hear Narada Muni's definition of bhakti? It's a very nice definition. He says, bhakti means offering one's every act to the Supreme Lord and feeling extreme distress when one forgets him. It's, you know, someone who has come to the level of bhakti, he will try to offer his every act to Krishna, but if it happens for some reason or another that he is not remembering Krishna, he will feel like a fish out of water, total distress. Oh, he doesn't feel good. This has sometimes happened to you. You may sometimes feel, I'm going through life, but something is missing in my life. No. It could well be that you do not remember Krishna, but you are with your umskis all over Splitski, all over Split. That could well be the simple explanation of your profound existential distress. Yes. Would you agree, Mahajala? Sometimes we just run and run and run. The day is over. Everything, was this all? Is this my life? Is this what I should be? But the moment you can remember Krishna, maybe read in the scriptures, discuss about Krishna on the telephone with someone, the moment you feel this day was worth living. Have you made this experience? But base Krishna, base means without. It is like being fried in the Italian pizzeria. Prabhupada writes about this. This simple process which bhakti, of bhakti, you know, association of devotees, serving devotees, and hearing about Krishna from them. He says, by such Purushottam Yoga, as it is stated in the Bhagavad Gita, one is made perfect even during the present bodily existence. And one exhibits all the good qualities of the Lord to the highest percentage. Such is the gradual development by the association of pure devotees. My dear devotees, please remember this Purushottam Yoga. Association of devotees, serving devotees and Krishna, and then hearing about Krishna, either by hearing the holy name or hearing Krishna Katha, will bring you away from the material entanglement. You will not do karma which produces further entanglement, but you will become liberated and you will fill your heart with Krishna. Then, before the saints left, they gave Narada Muni initiation. He was 5 years old only. Not 15, but 5. And they gave him a mantra, which is very, very powerful. Narada Muni later said with his disciple Vyasadeva and said, "The saints gave me this mantra." And then Vyasadeva said, this was a disciple, "Oh Guru Maharaj, you have received this mantra. Can you also give this mantra to me?" Narada Muni said, "Yes, it's this mantra." He told him. And when he told Vyasadeva this mantra, Vyasadeva became so enlightened that he sat down and wrote the whole Srimad Bhagavatam. It's such a powerful mantra. It says in the translation, "I offer my obeisances to you, Bhagavan Sri Krishna." And it says, "Let us respect Vasudev, Pradyumna, Anirudh, and Sankarshan in our minds." That is a long story. This is the Chaturvyuha, but I will not get into explanation here. Yeah. If you want an explanation, you can go to the Krishna Sandhava Anucheta 62. But now I want to chant this mantra with you. Are you ready? No?
Yes.
Please sit properly. And in your mind, concentrate now on Sri Krishna. I offer you will offer respect to Bhagavan Sri Krishna in your mind. Please fold your hands and repeat after me. Understands all the secrets of the Vedic scriptures. So, Narada Muni was telling about his life to Vyasadeva somewhere in the Himalayas. And Vyasadeva, his disciple, was listening with rapt attention. You know, sometimes we should ask our spiritual master, "Please tell us about your experiences in bhakti. I want to hear this, because from your example I learn." Do you know one part of our scriptures where this is done? The guru tells to his disciple about his own experience. Yeah, of course. Yes, in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, where Gopkumar Swarup tells his disciple Jana Sharma, how he gradually evolved and went back home, back to Godhead. And it's a very useful discussion to hear from spiritual masters. What is your experience in bhakti? Please, and tell us. This is Narada Muni listened. Vyasadeva listened to Narada Muni telling all this, and then he interrupted him and said, "My dear spiritual master, tell me, what did you do after those great sages left your home? How did you pass your life after being initiated by them? And how did you obtain this present body?" Which you can see there. Mm. "After you have given up your old body in due course of time, I heard that time annihilates everything, but it has not affected you. You can tell us what you were before this present kalpa. How is it then that you remember these events that happened during the previous day of Brahma?" So Narada Muni tells a very fascinating story. If you hear this, you will learn so much for your life. It's now a very confidential discussion between guru and disciple. Narada Muni says, "See, when the great souls left the house, I stayed with my mother. And because my mother had no husband next to her, I became the only object of the affection of my mother. In fact, I was bound by the affection of my mother." In German language we say that we call such a person a Milchbubi, a Milchboy. You know, meaning that he is, even to a high age, breastfed by the mother. A Milchbubi. You know, Milchbubi. He was the sole object of affection of his mother. This is very important for us to understand. She tried to look after my maintenance, but because she was so poor, she could not really provide much for me. So when she left, when the saints left, I always kept their instructions in my heart, and I did what they had told me. I sometimes sat to the side and chanted my mantra. I lived in the house of this Brahmana, where my mother was the maid servant, and I thought she would never leave me. But one evening, my poor mother went out to milk the cow to serve me milk, my night milk. But she never returned. On her way, she stepped on a snake and was bitten by the angry snake. Later, she was found by the people of my village, and they carried her into our house. And I saw my dead mother before me. He says, "I deeply, deeply contemplated what had happened. Let us stop for a moment. For a 5-year-old boy who has no father, this is the greatest tragedy you can imagine. The mother was bitten by the snake. She must have been blue in the face. And the boy sees the mother. Mother, mother, speak. smile at me. Cook milk. The mother just stares with wide open eyes in the face of the boy. This is the greatest shock for a child. The death of the mother, the only shelter. Let us hear how Narada responded to the shock. And I believe it's a good lesson to all of you. Sometimes health goes, father goes, dies. But sometimes even in the marriage, the wife goes or the husband goes. This is, happening. Other shocks are happening. Or a good friend goes and is no longer there. We have to deal with these things in our life. Let us see how Narada Muni dealt with it. He had a deep contemplation. Then he said, at that time I already saw that everyone and everything moves under the control of the Lord. Just as a puppet master controls a female puppet, the Lord controls everything and everyone. Further, I knew that the Lord is always concerned for the welfare of his devotees. So I considered the death of my mother was a hidden mercy of the Lord. And thus I took it as an opportunity to leave my home for good. Without performing any funeral rites, or what it means is he just, Jiva Goswami said, Narada Muni understood this is the end of the life of my mother. Why make many complicated rituals? She needs to be burned, and I know for sure Krishna has shown me the illusion of material affection. And what he did is he just took a torch like this, and he held it to the edge of the house, and the whole house burned down. I thought to do it this evening, but I thought it's already hot enough. Just to show that is what he did. So this was his understanding. There must be a reason behind this crisis which I'm facing now. I must find out why this happened. My Lord has sent it to me, but my Lord is never a cruel God or an angry God who punishes. He has something in my mind, in his mind. I must find this out. And this was the determination of Narada Muni. Isn't that amazing for a 5-year-old boy to have this maturity? Some of you are still lamenting the death of someone near and dear after 5 years. You have not understood what is the message of Krishna for you. Everything, when Prabhupada was in Vrindavan, at his deathbed, he said, everyone and everything moves under the control of Krishna. This understanding, this consciousness is called
Krishna.
You know everything. Yes, Krishna consciousness. This is the understanding. Everything, and don't quarrel with the Lord when something happens which you can't understand. You have to see, somehow I can't understand, but this is also the arrangement of the Lord. I just have to find out exactly what is his message to me. This is mature Krishna consciousness. So So Narada Muni left his home for good. He could understand there is no hope in this material life. My mother has just left me. He went in the northern direction. He had absolutely no knowledge of foreign countries. There was no Indian country atlas available for him. But he went north. It's very beautifully described. He went through many towns, villages, animal farms, mines, agricultural lands, valleys. Sometimes he went through flower gardens. Then he went through natural forests. But he remained detached. Finally, he entered a dark and fearful jungle, which was the playground of snakes, owls, and jackals. My dear devotees, when you have an experience in your life or a situation where you feel stuck, move. Don't stay at home. A river which does not move rots, becomes foul water. Move, go on pilgrimage, find answers by leaving the situation in which you are stuck, and so on. Prabhupada writes about this. He says, it is especially about monks, he writes, it's the duty of a mendicant, this is monarch, to experience the variety of God's creation by traveling alone through all the forests, hills, towns, villages, to gain faith in God and strength of mind, as well as to enlighten the inhabitants with the message of God. You know, when I took sannyas, a piece of paper was given to me with the sannyas mantra. It's a very nice mantra which is for those who want to make a firm determination in their life to progress and to continue. Would you like to know it? I won't say it to you in Sanskrit, only in English. I shall cross over the insurmountable, means you can uncrossable, ocean of ignorance by being firmly fixed in the service of the lotus feet of Krishna. This was approved by the previous acharyas, which were fixed in firm devotion to the Lord Paramatma, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. My dear devotees, if you want to move on in your Krishna consciousness, move, 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 and have faith that the Lord is with you, the Lord Paramatma, the Lord in the heart, who will reveal to you your next steps, who will enlighten you with the torch of knowledge by bringing the ignorance which clouds your understanding at the present moment away. Do something to get going. Go and walk. Walk and go. I mean this in a symbolic sense, and sometimes also in a literal sense when you go on pilgrimage. Like, I know there are some good devotees here in our audience who have actually made the plan to go to Vrindavan next year. Now this year, I have heard personally from their mouth that they are buying a ticket and they go to Vrindavan to get deep answers to deep questions in their lives. So then, he had, by all this walking, Narada Muni had become very tired and he needed to refresh himself. So he saw a lake drained from the crystal clear water, and as he was drinking, he saw a perfect banyan tree. there are some trees where it's very nice to meditate underneath. They are the peepal tree and the banyan tree. Somehow they have an atmosphere where you can think. There are also German trees which are quite, who have a very good atmosphere. Where I used to live, there was an Erlen tree. And this is a German word for a tree. I cannot tell you the word. And I would sit with a piece of paper and I was thinking how to present Krishna consciousness to the modern audience, and I got many ideas under the tree. And later I was informed that in old times writers would always write under this tree, but for spiritual life the banyan tree is ideal. So he sat there and he meditated on the Lord in the heart who had protected him so far as he was walking alone through these dangerous jungles. And then something very unexpected happened. As he chanted this mantra to Lord Krishna, he perfected somehow the mantra. It was a peaceful situation. He was concentrating on the mantra. The mantra was in his mind, and his mind was in the mantra. He was fully absorbed. And all of a sudden, the first thing he noticed is a very, very, very nice fragrance. Then, the next thing, what he heard,
a little sound like this.
He heard someone was coming who had ankle bells. And his spiritual senses became alert. Because in his meditation, see, I smell something which I've never smelled before. It's so wonderful. I hear a sound which I've never heard before. It's so wonderful. And then all of a sudden he saw the smiling face of Lord Krishna framed with beautiful curly locks. Step by step, the Lord made his appearance in my heart. First, I could experience the fragrance of his body. Then I heard the sound of his anchor bells. And then finally, I saw the beauty of his face. It is very difficult to describe what happened to me. So here Narada Muni sees the beloved Lord of his mantra with his Sakshat Darshan. It's a direct Darshan. He's totally overwhelmed in transcendental happiness. Now, it's described in Bhagavatam that in the fourth canto, Dhruva Maharaj, another boy saint, saw also Lord Vishnu, and he describes it, I became totally enlivened. And Prabhupada says, unless you are spiritually situated, all your activities are taken as a dead man's activities or ghostly activities. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has composed a song in which he addresses himself, O living entity, O Giridhari, get up! How long? How long shall you sleep on the lap of Maya? Now you have the opportunity of a human form of body. Now try to get up and realize yourself. The Vedas also declare, get up, get up. Oh, very wonderful language, isn't it? You have the opportunity, you have the boon, blessing of the human form of life. Now realize yourself. How would you describe the human form of life? I have a word for it. Unlimited opportunity. you can do really everything you can think of. If you can't think of something, you can't do it. But if you think of it, it will be done. And I know from our preaching, Sharanagati team, a little team, whatever we think of, that somehow it is coming to it's fulfilled. And you need just to think about it and really want to do it for Krishna's pleasure. And this world is made in such a way that it works like this. A sick man who understands I can be healthy, can be healthy. A fool who wants to speak something about Krishna, by Krishna's mercy and the mercy of this spiritual master, can do this. Everything is possible for someone who fixes his mind on it in a devotional life, who prays for the milas. This human form of life, there's one word for it: unlimited opportunity. In my humble honesty, what do you think, Mahajwara? Is it all right?
Yeah.
We can think.
Yeah, it came to me like crossroads.
For Mahajwara, human life means crossroad. You can now go actually also back to Godhead. Yes, this is unlimited. Quite easy for us. So this is what Prabhupada here says. Get up. How long you sleep on the when you sleep on the lap of Maya? When I was in Mayapur last this year, earlier this year, I saw an inscription on the temple wall. The inscription said, "Arise, wake up. You were born in nectar, and you are not meant to taste anything else than nectar. Now realize Sri Krishna, the beautiful reality." How did? And I copied it down in my notebook and I published it on the computer. Yes. I was so impressed by this inscription in the wall. Arise! Wake up! You were born in nectar and you are not meant to taste anything else than pizza. No, wrong, sorry. Anything else than nectar. Now realize Sri Krishna, the beautiful reality. Isn't that, we feel like this? My God, I'm feeling this should be done. But we limit ourselves always by our umskis. You know what is umskis? It sounds like om, but it's not. It's om. It's a perverted reflection of a very sacred word. The om, it sounds like om, but it's not. But everyone worships the om like you should worship the om. That I have seen. And it's a mistake which we do sometimes. Om means the mind. Some of our American guest said, O means mind and O means something very good. Krishna, the form of sound vibration. So Narada Muni describes to Vyasadeva, I became so excited by this darshan of Krishna, the fragrance of Krishna, that I totally lost the vision of myself and the vision of Krishna. In other words, the vision disappeared. Upon losing this form, I suddenly got up. I was confused. And I desired to see the transcendental form of the Lord once more. But no matter how hard I tried, despite all my attempts to concentrate upon the heart with eagerness, I could not see him anymore, and thus I fell into an ocean of misery. Can you understand Narada Muni? He has just seen the Lord, the most precious thing, and then he has lost this vision. Now he is in an ocean of misery. He feels like this. Have you ever been washed aboard a ship and drifted in an ocean? Sigmund Freud at the end of his life said, I'm on an island in an ocean of pain and I'm lost. He had terrible pain because of cancer in the jaw. How beautiful, he said, in an island in an ocean of pain. Poor man.
So he, Narada Muni, fell also into an ocean of misery. And naturally he tried again. Stepnitsa 1, Stepnitsa 2, Stepnitsa 3. But Prabhupada says there is no mechanical process to see the form of the Lord. It completely depends on Krishna's milas. Yes. It completely depends on the causeless mercy of the Lord. We cannot demand the Lord to be present before our vision, just as we cannot demand the sun to rise whenever we like. The sun rises out of his own accord. So also the Lord is pleased to be present out of his causeless mercy. So Narada Muni had seen the Lord. The Lord had disappeared when the way it happened. But when he had disappeared, he saw Narada Muni, who was besides himself with grief. Where are you, Krishna? He must have cried bitter tears. And the Lord could not go. He removed himself from the vision, but he spoke with a voice only the voice was there. And in this, what comes now lies a deep, deep secret of bhakti. The Lord will reveal the medicine for those who suffer in his absence. Before I come to this, what the Lord says, I want to share with you something which I have noted in my life. Maybe you know, many devotees come to me and open their hearts to me, and I've heard them often said that, Maharaj, when I was coming to Krishna consciousness, it seemed to me that in these very beginnings Krishna was very present in my life. He was so much present in my life that I gained the strength and the conviction and the confidence to give up my material life. But as a year passed by, I feel that Krishna is not so present any longer. And if I'm very honest to you, but don't put it on internet, if I'm very honest, I also don't feel so inspired any longer. I have heard many times, what should I do now, Maharaj? The devotees have taught me. In Christian terminology, this is called the dark night of the soul. It is when the inspiration goes, or better, the ukust, the taste goes, and we feel material existence comes very close to us. We feel desires are there, we feel confused by the material things, and we feel a little hopeless. Is there a way out for me, out of this dark night of the soul? We feel like this. Do you like this terminology, dark night of the soul? You could also call it a lack of taste, or I like somehow this very graphic, you know, when there's a dark night, you don't know where to turn. I have been in Vrindavan with the Indian torchlight, and the torch, and I needed to go home, and there was power cut everywhere, and then I was with my Indian torchlight, and I already said, you don't look very convincing to me. And then you know how this Indian, but then they start to do, why do you do this now? And then it makes pew, and then it's out, you know. And you know, my Indian torchlight is finished now. And then you're in the dark night and you don't know where to go. You have to wait until the sun rises in the morning. Because if you go, you might step on sleeping monkeys or bulls, which are peaceful, but who turn into raging bulls when you step on their nose, not in their eyes. So.
So, I will now make a little pause. Somehow I feel I should not tell you what the Lord told Narada Muni now, because we have heard already so much. It's now 20 minutes to 8. Or maybe if we hear just this and then end. What do you think, Toto?
Leave it for tomorrow.
No.
I also feel that we need to know this now. But let me ask you before, can you sympathize with Narada Muni's situation? Has it sometimes happened to you also that you feel left out and you feel, where is God? He used to be so present in my jiva. No one wants to nod his head because,
yes, it's a sad story.
Narada Muni was there going, really shaking with eagerness. Where are you? Where are you? He's a 5-year-old boy. He's alone in the jungle, surrounded with wild, with wilderness. You know, he's deep into the wild. You say in English, he's deep into the wild. And all of a sudden, he hears a beautiful voice. He says, Antasmin Janmani Pahar, O Narada, I regret. During this lifetime, you will not be able to see me another time. See, those who are not complete in bhakti, who are incomplete in their service, and who are also not completely free from material taints like desires, etc., such cannot see me always. Those who are not full with bhakti and who still have material desires cannot see. You can only see the Lord through what? Through eyes of life, yes. So if the eyes are not, the love is not there, the eye is not there to see the Lord. Then he says, but you must know a secret from me. I have showed myself to you one time and then disappeared.
Just to increase your desire for me. And now comes the secret. Listen very carefully, my dear devotees. This might change your whole life. Because, the Lord says, because the more you hanker for me, the more you will be free from all material desires. You know, we suffer from conflicting desires. One thing in us wants to be a pure devotee, only Krishna. But then there are the other desires, which are also there, the desires for the world. We are a little bit like people who want to drive a car, but at the same time step with their foot on the brakes. Or, I want to give an example for the Slitterlands, we are people in a rowing boat, who at the same time, as they are rowing, have the anchor in the ocean. This is, we are people with conflicting desires. We want to go east, but we also want to go west. This is the modern man, conflicting desires,
conflicting direction.
But Krishna showed himself to Narada Muni, and Narada Muni saw, this is the most beautiful Lord, and now now there is a hankering. I know this, sometimes Krishna does this to devotees who go to Vrindavan. They have such a beautiful Vrindavan experience that they say, I actually only want this. This is what I really want. Once someone of you came to me at a holy lake, holy place, and said, I want this only. Can you help me? Because I also want something else. Can you please help me? Who is there to protect you from yourself, Girihari? Good question. Who is there, Gurudev? Who protects you from yourself? Who is there, Damayanti, who protects you from yourself? We have police who protects us from the Nikovis, the rascals, but who is there to protect us from ourselves? We have state security, and we got police people with new weapons from Russia, but who protects us from ourselves? Very important. This is what helps. When you learn to hanker for Krishna, by this desire, this positive desire for Krishna, your material desires, the desires which shouldn't be there but which are there, are slowly removed from the heart. So that one day you say, now I only want you, Krishna. At that time, you should make a festival, invite all your friends to distribute prasadam, because this is the breakthrough. then the Lord gives Narada Muni and a great blessing. He says, you will always serve me, because you hanker now for me. I have made you eager for me only. You must know, now you are fixed in me, and even at the moment of death, this fixedness will not leave you, because even for a few days, if one serves the Absolute Truth, one attains firm and fixed intelligence in me. Not even death will take this away. This hankering, this ukus, this taste, is this spiritual intelligence for devotional service. No one can take it away. And by this, as it increases, you will become my associate in the spiritual world. Wonderful, isn't it? then he says the matiya. Matiya means the inclination or intelligence which is engaged in my devotion cannot be destroyed at any time, even at the end of creation, as well as at the time of even at the time of creation, as well as at the time of annihilation, your remembrance will continue by my mercy. In other words, what Krishna tells Narada Muni is, I gave you a taste by appearing before you, and now with this taste you will always remember me, and you will always long for me, and by this longing and hankering, all that which should be there in the heart will move away, will go away, thus you will come to me at the end. Beautiful.
Tomorrow I will read to you
a few sections from our scriptures. Tomorrow or the day after tomorrow, I don't know. We have still a few, no? A few, not a morning session. But all of you have a taste, some little taste, or some big taste, and this will never go. Even it may happen that a devotee, out of circumstances, leaves the association for Krishna consciousness for some time. But this taste will always stay, and he will continue in his life where he left off in that life. This is how powerful the investment of mercy in the form of taste is. And that's why our Lord is so wonderful. If you want to read this section in the Bhagavatam, I want to encourage you. You can find it. Yes, here it is. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, sixth chapter, verses 21 to 24. Should I repeat? SB 1, 6, 21 to 24. Krishna says, I have done this special favor to you by showing myself one time to you. That's enough. Now you always will want me. And the more you hanker after my association, the more quickly you will become freed of material desires. And then he said, rest assured, what I have given to you, this transcendental desire, will not even be destroyed at the moment of annihilation of the whole universe. It will stay with you, and you will continue. Oh, I'm so happy whenever I hear this. I have given many lectures. Last lecture in Srila Mayapur, with an internet before the Kirtan Mela, and I always become so happy, because that's what Krishna has given each single one in the room here, each one of you, even on even also the devotees who are somehow sad in their life and who feel ashamed to come in the association of devotees today. But they also have been given a great gift from Krishna. And this gift is something which Krishna never takes back. He always keeps it in your heart. My tip for you is cultivate this gift. Make something out of it. Use the golden opportunity to engage more in devotional service, and everything will go very quickly for you.
Very good.
I remember the day Srila Prabhupada, who
was asked, how long does it take to become Krishna conscious? And he says, it can happen in 1 second, or it may not happen after millions of births. It is only dependent on how serious you take this process. So, Narada Muni heard how the Lord was no longer there, but he spoke to him. Something very amazing happened. He thought very deep. He was a deep person, you know. He had heard his realization when his mother died. He could understand that everything moves under the control of the Lord, just like a puppet moves under the control of the puppeteer. Now he also thinks deeply about what has just happened, and he comes to a conclusion which I will tell you tomorrow. It's a very amazing conclusion. He becomes actually an extraordinary person after this. It's a very, very deep consideration, very nice conclusion, but I don't want to put too much into this lecture.
Krishna, Krishna. Yesterday I talked with Yashoda Jivan. Yashoda Jivan had made wonderful arrangements for this Bhakti Samadhi test with the other devotees. We had different rooms and halls, all within walking distance. And then all the arrangements were destroyed by a fire which was put by some people. The anger of the fire was not directed towards devotees. No, it was directed towards the men who rented the facilities to us. He does some shady business. And our temple is still alive and well. It's not there. They've burned everything except the temple because they like the devotees. But we cannot use all the, we cannot use now all the arrangement. Everything is there, you know, that's how it is. And Yashoda Jivan was thinking, we had made such an arrangement. Everything was so easy, so, And then I was remembering, and he asked, did we do something wrong? Has Krishna punished us? But Krishna is not like this, that when you do something wrong, he sends a fire. No. Krishna has a plan, which is always in the interest of the devotees. And the devotees just need to find out this plan. And I have seen this, it is difficult to find out when something happens directly, but after something has happened, we understand. We understand very well. There are various stories in this connection. But I want to see now. In this garden we have a little konsha. I wanted to see if you have any questions regarding what you have heard or other questions. But first of all, thank you very much for listening. Very encouraging. I can't believe you're so attentive. I don't have to put so much. I don't have to scream to catch your attention. Do you have any questions? Yes, we have a microphone for you, I believe, or maybe not. Then you have a loud voice.
Seems to me that Narada Muni story is a little bit different from our stories, because he, I mean, apart he had a full Saksha Darshan. We are actually our Our dark night of the soul is skin because we don't have any taste. He saw the world and he didn't lose his taste. I mean, his taste was increased by the world. So what do we do when we actually lose all the taste? What is the message Lord wants to teach us?
The question is, it seems to me that there are a few differences in Narada Muni's life. He had the darshan and then lost the darshan. Our dark night of the soul is a little different. See, in principle, the elements are similar, but in the principle, we also have taste, otherwise you would not sit here. Some taste is there, and there was maybe a greater taste, but then we sometimes do lose the taste again. Prabhupada writes about this in Krishna book. He writes how he can, a very nice section in Krishna book, which I want to read to you tomorrow. Where sometimes the Lord seems to be more distant from the devotee. Not that he was before that time that the devotee necessarily had a full darshan of the Lord, but the Lord appears sometimes more distant and sometimes more close. So this is the principle. Now, what to do when we lack the taste? In the Bhagavatam, there is a very interesting remedy which can give us taste in devotional service. The remedy is you must find a great soul and serve the great soul. Just do menial service. Menial service, very simple. What is needed? Okay. Tesa film is needed. I have tesa film. Serve according to the need, not according to your need. What you need, attention, unlimited amounts of attention, personal attention, or whatever, but just service. The moment you enter into this idea, I want to do service, after some time, there will be a bestowal or the gift of taste upon you. I have seen this personally. For me, it always works. And many devotees have seen this. It's somehow by associating with those who have the taste, this your misdirected inclination is again brought back. Any other question? Yes, very normal.
Usually we think that, how I see also in the beginning, that we need to serve a pure devotee. But is it also by serving regular devotees you have some taste that this can be revival, or is it just by pure devotees?
Is it that we just have to serve pure devotees, or can we also serve regular devotees? See, by two different things happen. When you serve pure devotees, then a taste comes by their mercy. But if you serve regular devotees, something else happens. Krishna becomes pleased. Krishna says, he who says he is my devotee is not my devotee. But he who is the devotee of my devotees, he is my devotee. Krishna sees all these. In the Gita, he says, those who preach this knowledge to my devotees are the dearest servants in this world, and nowhere do I find servants who are more dear. So, those who know the from serving devotees or preaching to devotees or going out to the people who are not yet manifested as devotees, they always conceive, wow, So much milas is coming.
So much mercy is coming.
It's Krishna's mercy that comes. Especially Premamurti, when you do austerities in your service as bringing Krishna consciousness. In other words, when you don't do it just because you like it, because it's your, you enjoy it, but if you do austerities in your mission of spreading Krishna consciousness, wow, then the milas just comes raining like a monsoon shower. Sometimes we do conditioned service, but when we do unconditional service, then I always find that mercy comes. Krishna. Now I will just sing for 5 minutes to conclude the program, and then we will serve you some prasadam.